Hello, and welcome to the General Knowledge Force. It's me, your main man, Kevin. Today, we're going to go into the struggles of working the 9-to-5, and not only are we going to talk about this, but we actually have our very first special guest, Alex Cestito. Alex, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Hey, everybody. I'm Alex. I'm Shane's fiance, and I'm a clinical research coordinator for a nonprofit company working that 9-to-5 grind and here to talk to you today about it.
So get excited, get ready, and get pumped for this journey to unfold. Hello, 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 everybody. It's your main man, Kevin, here with my best buddy, my best dude, my best guy, Shane. Shane, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
All right, all right. And, of course, our new special guest we have here, Alex.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Oh, buddy. Okay. Well, as I was saying, this episode is going to be on working the 9-to-5 life. Oh, yeah. So, of course, I want to put our new guest here on the spot. Alex, tell me about your 9-to-5 life.
Oh, God. What is there to tell? I don't know. I've worked a lot of jobs. I went from, like, working restaurant jobs all through college, which anybody who's worked restaurant jobs, you know, it's like, they're all the same, but they're all different. Like, you get the wildest group of people, and that, like, you never know what to expect in the restaurant job, and it's super fast-paced. And then you get done with that, and you go through college, and you're like, all right, college is cool, it's fine, it's awesome. And then you get into, like, the 9-to-5 grind at, like, an office, and you're like, what happened?
It's like, wow, I came from, like, being a server at a restaurant to doing this, and man, this isn't too much different. Like,
No, it's not at all.
You still have your crazy people. You still have, you know, drugs here and there. But
office drama.
Oh my gosh, office drama is totally a thing. And I mad respect for the companies that don't have any, but it's just such a common thing. It's, oh my goodness.
I can't imagine an office not having office drama. Like, you can work in the most professional place ever, but there's always, like, the little cliques. Like, high school never ends.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's, and you think that people would grow out of that by now.
You would think. You would hope.
But it's crazy how people just kind of just get stuck in that mindset, like, since maybe high school worked out really, really well for them, and they weren't able to, like, mature past that, so they kind of just fall into that space. And, you know, human beings, we're all creatures of habit. You know, if it worked the first time, why not just keep doing it? And, you know, and plus it's the easiest thing to do. Like, yeah. Let's say, like, for me, like, I'm an engineer. It's so much easier for me to just to hang out with the engineers because I'm just surrounded by them every single day.
Yeah, and plus I feel like when you work in an office, especially, like, if you're in your cubicle or, like, your small office space, like, you don't get out of there much. Like, you are locked in your desk. Like, you are locked on your screen, at least with me. Like, you get stuck in the computer, and then, you know, next thing you know, friggin' 4 hours have gone by, and you're like, well, I guess I'm not talking to anybody today.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that screen will just absorb your whole life. Like, I know for me, I had to get those Blu-ray glasses.
Oh, really?
Because I just stared, well, because I stare at small text on a screen all day long. And if I noticed that one day I just decided to buy it because I was just curious. And the reaction was immediate. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, the pain I was constantly dealing with, I'd just been dealing with it for so long that I was just conditioned to just feel that pain. So once I put the glasses on, I was like, oh my gosh, why do I feel so much better?
That's fucking wild.
I don't know. It's like, it's really weird. It's like walking around with a broken leg and then out of nowhere it heals. And you're like, oh, whoa. Like, feeling horrible isn't just normal.
Did you have, like, headaches, or, like, you just weren't noticing, or were you, like, having eye strain, I guess?
Eye strain. Tons of eye strain. But the thing is, now that I'm spoiled with my Blu-ray glasses, if I spend, like, 30 minutes at all without them on, I'm just like,
Man, now I kind of think, like, okay, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I always thought, like, I'd be looking at those, and they'd be like, oh, it's, like, an extra $150, and I'm like, eh, it sounds like a scam. But now that you say that, like, I don't know. Now, do I need those? Like, do I need them?
I would highly recommend them, especially in the long term. Because, you know, like, I've heard of people with grandparents that their eyes have worn away just from staring at screens so much. You really got to look out for yourself in the next 50, 60 years. And, you know, it's never too early to start. That's my two cents, especially since, like, in our day and age, screens are not going away. If anything, we're figuring out better ways to, like, stop the blue light, for example, like dark mode and stuff like that on, like, apps. But it's gonna just get worse. And I know you said $150, you can get them for like $20 on Amazon. You don't have to get the crazy expensive ones.
See, my problem is like I have a really high prescription too, because like my I'm basically blind. Like you do not want me on the road without my glasses or my contacts in, because I will kill someone. So I don't know. To me, like I also have to have them with the prescription. So it's like you get the prescription, you get the blue filter or whatever on it, and then by that time that's over, you're like, damn, like there goes my paycheck.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, like you get this paycheck and you're like, yay, I'm rich, and then like within like 3 days you're like, oh, I'm poor.
Right.
That's the life.
That is the life.
But I'm gonna rewind back a little bit. So a fun fact about the three of us, we actually met while serving at a restaurant back in the day. And it was a fun place to work. It wasn't necessarily the best place to work of all places. It was okay.
We made it fun.
I think my favorite part was just some of the characters that we encountered worked there. I know there was one guy who was definitely way older than everybody else that would burn movies illegally and sell them to the people that worked there.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, he was great.
He was a good person. He was wild. He taught us a lot of neat stuff and introduced me to crypto back in the day.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, it was crazy. He was mining Bitcoin and stuff. He was a wild man. But
and I know he would do all kinds of drugs. I remember him like telling me.
Oh, dude, he was doing all types of shit. He ended up trying to offer me some stuff called witch's brew.
Witch's brew.
Dude,
write that one down.
He said it was NyQuil, Sprite, and some other, like, I don't know what the hell. I forget what the concoction was. But
so it was
three
like
or
a
four.
Drink?
It was a drink called witch's brew, NyQuil, Sprite, Red Bull, and some alcohol, and some, I don't know what else was in it. But, and he's like, you drink this and you fucking just, whoa! You start seeing shit flying off the wall, people flying around on a broom in no time. I'm like, who the hell is this man? I'm 16! Like,
oh my gosh, oh my gosh. How old was he? Was he like 40s?
He was almost 40s. Like, he looked like he was in his late 60s, but he was just shy of the 40s.
Yeah, yeah, he was rough.
He probably just did so many drugs that made him like age faster than normal.
Well,
it's awful, but he did die. He's dead now.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he ended up, like, crusting himself into the ground with his witch's brew and other nonsense.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, don't take drugs from that random 60-year-old at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Straight.
Oh, wow. But outside of that, there was also a couple of people that I had met that would regularly come in high, like they had just smoked some cannabis, then come in. It seemed like a very common thing, and it was pretty hilarious.
Oh yeah, I knew people at restaurants, like after I worked with you guys, I went to restaurants, and there would be people who, like, in the middle of their shift, they'd like take out the garbage, right, to the back, and they'd sit out there and
wink,
like,
wink,
smoke a doobie, and you'd walk out there and be like, you know, so-and-so, what are you doing? Like, there's people in this restaurant, we gotta go.
If it's not the customers, it's the servers.
Yeah, right? It's so funny. Like,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like drugs are just so ingrown into our culture as a relief that it's hard not to encounter them, you know?
And I also wonder if, like, they're more prevalent, I think, openly in restaurants. Like, when you work in a restaurant, you know, like, you know the people that are doing that, and, like, people don't have a problem talking about it. But, like, as far as, like, office life, like, nobody talks about that sort of stuff, right? But I wonder if it's not more prevalent, or if
it's just
people
super
just
stigmatized.
Yeah.
So, like, if you got your shit together and you're using, like, I mean, shit, there's a lot of people that are super high business magnates that just do blow all the time. Like, they used to come out and fucking, like, they'll just come out to random people out into the country where they have, like, a big dealer, go grab a couple of suitcases full of coke, and boom, they just show up in a fucking suit and a nice car, like, hey, here you go. And then they'll just dip back out into the city and distribute it amongst their friends and their nice little circles.
Oh my gosh.
But they're super discreet about it. They don't tell anybody. They're all like locked, like shut. I don't know. It's crazy. Wild. You got to be super, super crazy with it. And everyone in the restaurant's just super open. It's weird. Everyone just talks about it. It's like lower class, I think. Whereas like the more upper class people or like white collar jobs are like, eh.
everybody does it, but nobody says they do.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you do get in that office life, obviously you're in a job where you're getting paid a lot more. The more valuable your job is, yes, the more usually the more intellectual you are, usually, not every time, the more intelligent of a person you are, and by then you kind of are like, hey, maybe it's not the best idea if I talk about this illegal drug that, yes, I'm consuming.
Yes.
That can actually lose my job if I get drug tested.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that fear. Like, I know I've worked at places where people, you know, you don't get drug tested. And there have been conversations here and there about drugs, but like, it's very commonly just swept underneath the rug. Like, okay, cool, that's something you do. We can talk about it off the record, or we can just not hear, because there's just so much of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just suck so much if you literally were just like, oh, hey, buddy, yo, yada, yada, yada. And then the next day you lost your, I don't know, 40K, 60K job plus. And now you're just like, well, got to figure out how to get a new job and then explain to my next potential employer, oh yeah, I got fired because I was talking about doing illegal drugs.
Yeah, you gotta be super smart, super crazy smart about it. Can't be like that.
Or just work for yourself and do whatever you want.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. And like, that's the next thing. Like, you know, you're working this 9-to-5 job because one guy was like, oh, I'm gonna make a business. But there's a couple of things that I just don't want to do because it sucks. And that's when you come in. You know, you're working the 9-to-5 for this person, dealing with the stuff he doesn't want to do, while you get paid about, I don't know, 5-10% of what he makes.
Right. And it just trickles down from there. Because, like, once you get into a big enough company, you have, like, you know, the CEO, and then just down from there, like, so many multi-level managers. And then you get down to, like, the very basic people who, you know, are basically disposable. And they're like, well, all right, if we lose this person, like, we'll just find somebody else. You know, everybody has a college degree now. So it's like, well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, people just have that mentality that anyone can be replaced. And I actually very much disagree with that, especially when it comes to people that have been around for at least 6 months. There's just so much knowledge that one person will have of your infrastructure, of your system. By getting rid of that person, you really lose a lot. And it's easier to be that person that's like, I don't know, 3 tiers up, that doesn't see you in action. But it's just so hard to literally replace somebody without taking like a, I don't know, 2-year like development hit.
Yeah, upper management, I feel like a lot of times does not understand that at all, because I know even like in my job, like we've had instances where somebody has left, you know, they've moved on to something better or they're going back to school or whatever. And you have this whole investment period time of like, depending on what the job is, 6 months, like you said, 2 years, where you have to train the person to know how to do the job. And then half the time, by the time you get to the end of the 2 years and they know what they're doing, they're like, peace out, you know, because they've found something else or they're moving up or whatever. And it's just like, man, like it's hard to find people to like stay in a position.
Yeah. And a lot of it, I feel like, is, you know, not treating your employees right. You know, a lot of people, a lot of companies really take their employees for granted. And, you know, all these new jobs are constantly coming up, and you got to really be competitive with, like, how do you keep your employees around? You got to be willing to offer them that cutting edge. And, you know, the number one thing is that money talks. You know, if you're giving them a yearly salary, that's really, really good. I've heard of people that have gotten like a 10% bump on their yearly salary after just working there for like 2 years, something like that that can really keep them around. Another idea, let's say, 401ks, you know, you put money in your 401k, you get a match from your employer. If your employer is like, oh, hey, like, we'll keep giving you this match as long as you're here up to 3 years. If you leave before those 3 years, everything that we've thrown in, we take back. And that's a very common thing. I know that happened with me, with my last company I was with.
Yeah, that's how it is at mine. We don't have 401ks, but we have pension plans. So very similar, though. You got to be there for 3 years or your pension's not vested. And it's basically like, well, if you weren't here for 3 years, like, we don't have to give you the pension, you know? Which I do think is like motivates people to stay around. But also I think the other problem is, you know, like you get people there and like, I think a lot of times, at least in the business that I'm in, like you'll have people from other companies that'll wave some money around and be like, hey, come over here, you know, and basically steal the people that you've trained. And then they get to that other company, and the other company doesn't treat them as well, even though they're being paid more, and they're just, like, getting run into the ground and stuff. So that happens, too, I think. Maybe not so much in tech, but, like, more in the nonprofit sphere, like, that happens.
Oh, yeah. I feel like people are really, really good at, like, you know, taking a position and, like, you know, putting some, like, pixie dust on it and, like, some colors. Like, oh, yeah, this is some crazy awesome position. Like, look at our reviews online or whatever. And because these companies are going to do whatever it takes to get you just to sign on. And if they can get you to sign on, beautiful. Like,
yeah,
they win.
Perfect example of that is Amazon. Like, I feel like Amazon does so much advertising. Shane, I know you, like, oh, you have so much Amazon.
Oh, hey, Amazon. Oh, and I know we have a lot to say about Amazon, but hey, I'm going to go ahead and give us a short break so we can talk about a quick message from us. Hey, didn't see you there. So, I've got one question for you. Do you hate ads? Oh, wow. Me too. Sounds like we already have a lot in common. Here on the General Knowledge Force, Shane and I are committed to a zero ad podcast platform. But in order to keep this up, though, we unfortunately do need your help. All that we humbly ask is that you like, follow, subscribe, and share to help us really get this podcast going. Now, if you want to go a step further and become a super duper awesome pants, consider becoming a patron on our brand new Patreon. Here, you can get access to our official Discord server, have live chats with Shane and of course, vote on the next topic in our podcast. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Now let's get back to it. And we are back. All right, I know I cut Shane off, really, with his Amazon story. So, Shane, did you work at Amazon before?
Oh, I worked at Amazon. It was an atrocious experience.
Oh, my gosh. where at Amazon did you work?
Oh, so I was in the warehouse. So, I mean, of course it's going to be bad, you know.
What? It's not, like, all, like, sparkles and pixie dust?
No, it's four days a week, 10 hours. But you're actually there for about 12, and it's a rough time.
Do you get paid for that extra time that you're there?
Nope.
You don't?
No, sir.
But they just require you to just stay there that extra time?
And then, I mean, you can do, like, overtime and shit, but it's just, like, your lunches and shit aren't, you know,
counted,
necessarily paid for.
And yet they're, oh my gosh,
considered paid for, and they're not.
That's the thing that I hate about those, like, factory jobs, is that, like, they're going to do whatever they can to just not pay you. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so scrupulous on, like, when you clock in, when you clock out, when you start doing lunch, when you're done doing lunch. It's like, what's wrong with just paying me?
Right.
Like I don't understand. You have all these other employees that are just salary employees that do maybe, like, I don't know what, like 50% of the effort that I actually put into this. Like, why is it that I can't get paid
and make double the money?
Yeah, if not triple or quadruple.
Right. Right.
Like, that's the thing. I feel like factory workers get just so poorly treated.
Oh yeah, they get shit in the sticks on. It's rough. It's bad. Like, you're just there grinding away, and, like, not just, you know, you're doing a monotonous activity that just actually wears your body down. So the trade-off's really shitty.
Yeah, right? You kind of feel like you're just cattle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly how you feel. You're just getting corralled. You're walking in lines all day. And you're just like, damn, walking through your little factory line. If you've ever seen the South Park episode that portrays Amazon, that shit is fucking dead on. Like, to a T, what the factory, what it looks like in the warehouse, all the little fucking robot pal, and literally everything to a T. Watch the fucking episode. It's insane. So, like, you watch that, and then you, like, if you're working it, you're like, oh my god, you see all the relations, and you're like, oh my god, like, even the break room is like that, and it's like, fuck. It's like, you're literally doing this shitty ass grind every day, and if you're, like, somewhat intelligent, you know it's a shitty grind, and that you're not going anywhere, and no matter how hard you work or how much you do more than the rate, say I was doing double, triple the rate that was required of me. And, like, have to be there and, like, have an X amount of tenure at a certain thing to be able to be eligible for little shitty upgrades that aren't even, like,
actual
pay
upgrades
raises or anything. It's just more responsibility and work.
Oh, my gosh.
For no pay.
So they kind of give you, like, a pat in the back and then, like, okay, cool, here's more stuff to
and
do.
And then if you go back to what's only required, then everybody's, like, looking at you like, oh, now he's slacking off. He's not doing a good job because he's only doing what's required, and he's usually doing, like, above and beyond, like, everything. And so it's just like, oh, if you work hard, you don't get rewarded for it. And then if you go back to just working normally, like what's considered normal and acceptable, you get shit on because you showed that you were able to do anything
good. Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? Why not reward me
for being?
And like, I would show the, like, I'd just go, I already knew how to get into the system and handle everything before everybody did. Like, I was doing shit that the fucking PMs were supposed to do, or the area managers. They wouldn't know what the fuck was going on, and I was the person on the line fixing everything in the computer for them because I didn't know how to fucking do the shit. It was like, why can't you just give me their job? Why do I have to be here for a year and a half when I already know how to do everything that they don't know how to do?
Yeah, right.
So what's going on? And like, so like, there's like no reward for actual hard work, and then like,
and I just feel like that's just. I don't know, this pisses me off so much. Sorry, did you completely interrupt you?
No, you're fine. Like, oh, goodness.
Because it's just like, that kind of behavior, that kind of like work-life environment is what literally conditions people to just not want to put forth the extra effort.
It like forces you to become complacent.
Yeah.
Like you're stuck, and then you're in that rut, and then you're depressed because you don't even see the light of day ever, and then you're stuck and programmed in like third shift mode. And it's just, it affects the rest of your life after you even leave the job. You're just like programmed in that like strange darkness times.
Because you were third shift. You worked only nights.
Right.
And then you come home, pass out. And did you see any sunlight?
No. When the sun rose is when my eyes closed.
Isn't that funny? We should write a song with that being the title.
Goodness. But to the point where like it affects me so greatly now. Because I was doing it for so long that your body just like conditions to that time, and then you're like stuck.
Oh my gosh. Your body is just so good at adapting to anything that you do, and now you're just like stuck in this sense. Unless you were to like really like push yourself.
And like, it's like whenever you're fighting to acclimate to that dark time, it's the same battle to reacclimate back to normal.
Exactly.
Like, it's just awful. Like,
it's that bridge. So how long did you work at Amazon?
Probably 8 months
before
I finally got tired of it. And actually, I got injured there, and there was a whole big issue, ordeal with that. So, yeah, if you get hurt at a warehouse and you're like, you don't bitch, whine, moan, and complain to this and like say, hey, like, I'm like dying. They don't like even think that you're hurt. They don't believe you. They're so like no, nothing actually happened to you. You're fine. Like, you're not actually hurt. And like, you're like, yeah, my everything, my shoulder's destroyed. Like, you're fine.
You just ripped your entire shoulder.
Oh yeah. So like, I was like walking around pulling pallets and like wear and tear over time, lifting just heavy shit constantly and pulling stuff. Eventually, ripped all the ligaments in my shoulder, and I was like, damn, this is like. Boom, it's hurting really bad. And then it got really bad one day, and I went to Amcare, and they were just like, yeah, you're fine.
What?
Yeah, wait.
You had a professional look at your shoulder.
Yeah, they're nurses and stuff. They have on site are supposed to be like a registered nurse or like an orthopedic person, and they come in, and they're just, yeah, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Like, I'm telling you, like, anybody that has any type of like anatomical knowledge or like sports medicine would be able to tell that you're hurt, and they just either they're oblivious or they're like paid to kind of be like, yeah, this person's kind of faking it or something, or they just think everybody's faking it. Or, but because there are some people, there's insurance fraud and shit that happens, but at the same time, like, you can't be like that with everybody, because sometimes people really are fucking hurt. So it's wild, and it's just like, that's the corporate mindset like the big companies have. It's wild,
and it's crazy how like they're so conditioned to just be like, oh, he's probably faking it, because there are those people that abuse the system,
mm-hmm.
and just screw everyone else over. You know, it's that's like the big thing, like, hey, this is cool, but if one person abuses it, then everyone's screwed,
right?
And I feel horrible that you had to go through all of that. And it just shows like how hard, ridiculous factory jobs are. I know, like, from my perspective, being someone who also did a night shift job a long time ago, I told myself, like, never, ever again will I allow myself to do this, because like, you just feel
it's
like
a mind grind. It like literally dulls you. You're just like, whoa, doing this monotonous crap all day, and then and then your body's getting tore up too, and it's just like,
yeah, it makes you feel bad to like, because at the factory I worked, there were plenty of people that were like 50 plus, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for you. Because the fact, like I'm over here, like, when I was doing that work, I was, like, just hit 20 years old, 19 years old, and I remember just being like, yep, yeah, I'm doing this summer, and that is it. And I remember having someone come over to me and be like, this really motivates you to get your degree, doesn't it? And I was like, you have no idea. And just for me to, like, you know, leave, do something else, being at another, those older people, they're stuck there. Mm-hmm. That is their life from there on, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
And the saddest thing about factory work is like, now is the best it's ever been. Like, if you look historically, like, factory work was fucked up. Like,
oh, really?
Back in like the 1900s. Oh. Oh yeah. Up until like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie and say I know the exact dates, but up until, you know, a few decades ago, it was like 16-hour work days. Like, mm-hmm. they had to petition and form unions to get an 8-hour work day, because people would literally like wake up, work the entire day and for like 12 to 16 hours, go home and sleep for like 4 or 5 hours, and get up and do all the crap again.
Yep, just repeat. Like, boom,
it was
boom,
crazy.
Robot.
Plus, then you had all the child labor in factories.
Oh my god!
Like, you had kids like getting their hands cut off in machines because there was no safeties or anything.
It was because like adults couldn't fit inside of the tiny crevices of the machine, so they'd send the kids in there, and then if anything happened or the machine kicked on, rough, awful, and you know. No like, safety guidelines.
Oh my gosh.
Guess this like low income child just died. Just we'll find another one. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. That's petrifying.
Sorry. Like, and the like family didn't get anything for it or nothing or no. Nothing.
Oh my gosh. It just shows that like these big corporations just dominate over the lower class.
And if they don't have restrictions and like safeties in place, like, they'll do whatever they want.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If the government didn't have these laws in place to protect its citizens, like, yeah, they would just be like, whatever.
Totally.
We're gonna do whatever we can just to make as much money as we can, because that money equals power, and power, unfortunately, is what, if the Romans taught us anything, power
drives people crazy. Goodness. It's so true, though.
Oh my gosh, that petrifies me.
So like, it's a lot better nowadays. We don't got none of that going on. Thank the heavens.
You don't have any 3-year-olds falling into your like Amazon machines and getting ground up.
Like, all we got now is the little robot machines running people over and, you know, breaking their legs and packing them in boxes.
I can only imagine what it was like back in like the prime of the industrial age. You know, when they actually like first started those factories, everyone was getting black lung and all that stuff. Pollution was off the charts.
Mm-hmm. People dying left and right just from going to work.
My gosh.
And then people just dying early deaths because, I mean, like you said, it takes such a toll on your body and mind. And like, imagine having to do that double the amount of time you were doing it
like
already.
Like, people dying literally from fatigue. Just fatigue. No other causes.
Oh my gosh.
Which, not that people were in the best shape anyways at the early 1900s.
Right,
because, you know, medicine was kind of sort of a thing, but not really, so.
Yeah, right.
Everything was horrid back in the day, but nowadays it's a lot better, but relative to a lot of other shit, it's still not good.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. So what have we learned from this? If it's possible, try not to work in a factory. Like, any other job that you could get is better.
Education is king.
Education is king. And that's a whole other topic we can get to in a later. That's a whole other podcast.
Not necessarily formal education.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast right there. But yeah, like, you know, I see like a factory job as like a quick summer job is cool, but definitely don't let it be your full-time gig. It'll just cripple you.
Mm-hmm.
Server jobs are nice, and there's plenty of other 9-to-5 jobs that you can get without a college degree right out of high school or even during high school that are great. Won't give you the best experience ever. You will have to deal with your crazy people, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll work.
Absolutely. Or go get a vocation. That's a good deal.
But another thing I want to touch on is the difference between being an hourly worker versus a salary worker. And how when you're a salary worker, you notice that like the higher ups tend to just make you work constantly.
Oh yeah. I mean, the thing is with salary, I feel like it's like a double-edged sword. Like, because you have times with salary where you're like, oh, like, you know, I gotta leave a little bit early today, I got a dentist appointment, it's not a big deal. But then you've got other times with salary where it's like, oh, I've been here for 8 hours, but I still have like 37 things to do, so guess I better just get all these done before I leave on Friday.
Yeah.
And you're there for like 12 hours and you're like, what is my life?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, I know I've gotten texts at like 10 o'clock at night being hey, can you check this one thing for me? And I'm just like, why are you awake? Why, like,
why are you thinking about work at 10 o'clock on a Saturday? Like,
yeah. What do you gain from doing this?
I used to run a hotel, and when I was managing it, I was like responsible for any type of guest complaint or anything that happened at, you know, any time of the day, 24 hours on call. So I'd be laying in bed some nights, and somebody would just call me out of the blue and be like, hey, my damn TV's not working. I'm like, damn, dude, man, it's like 4 a.m. You should go to fucking sleep.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like, that's what I wanted to say, but no, you gotta like haul your ass out of bed and be all nice, get dressed, and go over there and fix the damn TV. And you're getting paid, you know, your salary. You're not getting paid any extra money for that.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Some fucking responsibility you gotta do in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, corporations will abuse it. Where like, if you're an hourly worker, as soon as your hours are up, like, that's like the only like pro of being an hourly worker. Once your hours are up, like, they are like, nope, you are not working.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here. Like, I remember when I would work in restaurants hourly, like if I was on the line cook or something like that, like sometimes the manager would literally look at me and be like, if you're not out of here in 30 minutes, I have to pay you overtime, leave right now. And I'm like, oh damn, you got some quotas to meet or something today, because
that's usually because like the managers don't want to pay their overtimes out because that cuts into their like bonus at the end of the month.
Really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Really?
That's why they don't want to pay overtime payouts, is because they're being greedy and they don't want to lose their paycheck at the end of the month.
Oh wow, I didn't know that was an actual thing.
Yes.
It's all coming together now.
Yes.
Now that explains. I remember when at the restaurant we worked at originally, I hit that point where it was time for me to start working overtime, and the manager came out and was just like, hey, you're done. You're leaving. You know, like, you're supposed to work for 3 more hours. You're not working them anymore.
And you're like, what the fuck? I was getting 3 hours overtime. I was excited.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I was getting extra money this paycheck.
Yeah.
And the manager's just like, yeah, no, I am. Not you. Fuck you. Get out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Just like, really?
Oh, my God. Why?
Oh, help a brother out.
Yeah, right? Well, it looks like we're getting close to our time limit here. Guys, is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap this all up?
No, not really. I mean,
you're good.
I mean, I ain't got too much to talk about. I mean, I never really worked the 9 to 5s, just the 11 to 11s and the contractual jobs.
Yeah, right. Alex, how about yourself?
I guess if you're gonna work a 9 to 5, because I mean, I guess most of us are, like, find one that you like, at least that when you're doing the work that you enjoy it, and, you know, best case scenario, develop the skill set so you can work for yourself, because that's like the dream.
Yeah, but, right. Oh my gosh. And that's what we're fighting for now.
Work with your mind, not your body.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's the best thing that I can say.
Mind over body. That you get way more money that way.
Oh yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Your longevity is increased.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Awesome. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us, for being our very first special guest for the show.
Thanks for having me. Oh, it was awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I know we have an absolute blast working on this podcast, and we cannot wait to talk to you guys again next week. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.